Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Planet Fitness. They have given me, I have a Planet Fitness sash. I'm like Mr. Planet Fitness for the year. It might be Luke Jones. I'm not sure. Are you going to put that on?
I don't think it's ever been worn.
It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery.
What if that works with the headset?
I have candy cane cash. We had a $100 winner at Costas the other day. Our friends at GBMC keep me alive. I told them that I wanted some wacky hats, some New Year's Eve hats. So happy New Year's to you. I'll even put on my purple. Dude, I got purple goggles.
There you go.
Oh, we got to put purple goggles on because we're not even doing a Raven segment here. But we're doing. I want to see what purple goggles looks like. There you go, purple goggles. Look into the Planet Fitness 2026 crystal ball. And tell me how many wins Shane Baz is going to have, Luke Jones.
Hopefully quite a few.
All right.
There's upside there.
I have to put my regular glasses on so I can see. How you doing, man? As we record this, you're a couple hours asleep. We fired John Harbaugh. We didn't have to bench Derrick Henry. They already benched him for us.
Yeah, took care of that.
We have the Green Bay thing. But beyond all of that, I've dragged you out here to Planet Fitness here today for a little bit just because we're going to talk some baseball anyway. You're on your way out to Owings Mills, as you will be all week for the holidays, and Merry Christmas to you, the nieces, the family, all that good stuff, and your church and all the things that you do. But we had a little baseball thing happen over the weekend. I mean, I get the WNST tech service by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, and I wonder what you thought of it. And I did my Shane Baz thing, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, he's really not even as good as Dean Kramer, kind of, sort of, where,
yeah.
It's kind of where I led on. I'm like, he's another Dean Kramer as I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, maybe they see something in him. Because that's the way, when I think of Elias as the baseball genius, I look at him and say, well, he saw something in Trevor Rogers, and we think he's the village idiot, and he saw something in, not in Corbin Burns, but, you know, in evaluating things, he hasn't been... didn't misevaluate Adley Rutschman, for crying out loud. So I don't want to beat him up for things like that. But when he makes this kind of deal, it tells you, like, he sees something, right? And he obviously saw something in prospects he gave away that maybe some of the internet fans in baseball America don't believe about prospects.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing we can take away from this, it's continuing the, you know, to push back on the notion that Elias is a prospect hugger, right? That he just wants to hold on to his prospects interminably and you know, until the point where they don't have much value. I mean, you look at
that prospect hugger. Wow, yeah. That's a new term. I haven't heard that one.
I've heard others say that,
I can't take
credit for that. But, I mean, you look at the fact that, you know, they traded Caden Bodine, they traded Slater DeBron. These were two of their four first-round picks in this past draft. Michael Forrett, who had a really, really good 2025 season, albeit still, you know, at least another year away. They gave up a competitive balance pick. In fact, the one that they actually, how often
have they done that?
Not usually. They've been the ones acquiring,
right?
I mean, like Baker last year, they acquired a pick, and that was actually the Slater DeBron pick. So it's kind of ironic that they took that pick from the Rays, they drafted someone, and then they traded that guy back to the Rays. But I'll say this, and you mentioned Dean Kramer. I'm glad you did, because it's interesting, because I look at Shane Baz like this. If you look at him, first of all, he's a former first-round pick. He's 26 years old. He's had injuries, although he's about a year and a half on the other side of being healthy and being a couple years removed now from Tommy John surgery. And he's got a lot of upside. Now, his ERA was not too far south of 5 last year. He didn't have a great statistical year when you just look at it at first blush. However, stayed healthy the entire year, made 30-plus starts. He throws 97 miles per hour. He has a curveball that profiles quite well. He pitched half his games at Steinbrenner Field last year down in Tampa, which we saw when the Orioles played there. I mean, Adley Rutschman hit a pop-up to right field, and
it's
it cleared
a minor league ballpark.
Yeah.
So it played like Colorado.
So you look at him, and I'll go way back. He was a former first-round pick of the Pirates. He was part of the Chris Archer trade, you know, that big trade that included Glasnow, Meadows, and so this is someone where if you go and look at his baseball reference page and click on the minor league stats, he was a top 100 list guy. I mean, he was a guy that was regarded as one of the better pitching prospects in baseball. Made his debut for the Rays back in, I think, 21. And not too long after that, started having elbow issues. Had Tommy John surgery, missed all of 2023. You know, finally got back. I think he had an oblique or something like that early in 24. and that kind of delayed his return.
Sort of the John Means of their
Yeah,
thing.
Kind of, sort of.
And I saw the terrible news on him.
Oh, I know, yeah. Right? I mean, just I can't catch a break. Apparently, he was getting ready to sign with someone, too. It happened the same day he was going to sign. So, tough break. I mean, he was such a good story for a long time. And
through a no-no, dog.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. But, you know, to bring it back to Boz, you know, he missed all of 23. He gets back. He makes 14 starts for the Rays, second half of 24, and had a 3.06 ERA. So you look at it, and the peripheral numbers last year looked better than what the ERA looked like. His home splits were terrible. He pitched pretty well on the road. He had a sub-4 ERA on the road. And I think if you're Mike Elias, I think it's interesting because you mentioned Dean Kramer. To me, I view this more as this is like Grayson Rodriguez, but I think there's a higher level of conviction that he's healthy and he's gotten far enough away from Tommy John surgery
that he can ascend again.
That now it's like, okay, can this guy become something for you? Now, that's not a guarantee. And let me be clear, I like this move so much more if they're still going out and getting another frontline, top half of the rotation guy.
But
and
you think they're going to get a lot of innings out of him?
I think so. And I think even in, I don't want to say a worst-case scenario, because worst-case scenario for any pitcher is they get hurt, right? I mean, that's just anybody. But I think if you're looking at the floor for him, it's that he could at least be another Dean Kramer kind of guy, but he's got way better stuff. I mean, this guy's got a good arm. He's going to strike people out. Decent ground ball rate last year also. So I think there is a profile there, and Elias said this.
That he could be a real three for them.
He could. He might have a ceiling that he could be a 2.
He could be 14-9 with a 4.24 ERA.
Is that going to happen specifically in 2026? I have no idea. But at the very least, even if he's not appreciably markedly better than he was this past year, that still profiles as a pretty solid number 4, number 5 kind of option, especially if he's going to take the ball every 5 days. And keep in mind,
well, the guys at the bottom, the Povichs and those guys,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like any of them were coming enough.
And you need more upside. Like, you know, I've even said with Cade Povich, there are times where I see the makings of maybe a good major league pitcher in there. But realistically speaking, he's probably more of like a swing man. You know, like a long reliever, maybe a guy that becomes a seventh inning
guy.
Well,
you wonder that with Tyler Wells, too.
Sure.
Well, especially these guys that have had all these injuries,
well, and
right?
Tyler Wells.
And Baz is another one that had injuries.
And as we're talking about the bullpen, I've said to you, going back a few years now, I mean, even going back to when Batista got hurt the first time, and remember, Wells came back and was part of their bullpen at the end of 23. I think Tyler Wells, don't get me wrong, who enter spring training, you should stretch them out. You do that with all your guys that are starting candidates because you don't know. You might lose 2 guys, right? We've seen that plenty over the last few years. But I think in an ideal world, if your rotation's mostly healthy, your stable of pitchers are mostly healthy, I'd really like to see Tyler Wells in a relief role. And I'm not saying he becomes like the exclusive eighth inning guy behind Helsley, but maybe he could be a high-leverage guy. Maybe he could force his way into that in the way that Zach Britton did that a decade ago, right? Zach Britton was a failed starting pitcher, and within a couple months, he's one of the best closers in baseball.
So is Greg Olson.
Yeah. So
right? I mean, we go back 40 years.
So I think, you know, again, to bring it back to Boz, I like the profile. They gave up some interesting prospects here. Now, they're not guys, you know, they didn't give up Mayo. They didn't give up Basayo, right? They didn't give up Colton Cowser. They gave up some guys that, yes, fans have heard of because of their draft picks very recently, but guys that are far from a sure thing. You have 3 years of control with him, so it's not just 26, but the 2 years to follow after that. And again, even if he never realizes that high-end number one, number two kind of potential that, I mean, the Pirates thought of him once upon a time, and certainly the Rays did, if he can at least be even what he was last year, I'd like it to be better than a 4.87 ERA. Let me be clear on that.
Well, he was playing in a minor league ballpark, so I can't go to that.
So if he can at least, you know, like what his road splits were, if that can translate to Camden Yards, which isn't a pitcher-friendly park, but it's friendlier than what that minor league park was, then I think you've got something that, at the very least, is a really solid second half of the rotation.
I go back to Dean Kramer. Just take the ball every fifth day and give us a chance to win.
Yeah.
Get into the fourth or fifth inning, give me a chance to win.
And I agree with that mindset as far as the floor, but I think the ceiling is Grayson Rodriguez-esque, which you know, you traded that away. You got Taylor Ward for 1 year. Taylor Ward's going to be an everyday
player.
Let's
be honest. If Shane Baz wins 18 games and pitches to a 3-4 ERA makes 33 starts, Elias is a genius for this deal.
They'd be thrilled.
Right?
I mean, even if he wins 12 games, and but if he gives you 165
innings. Well, 18's more where I thought Rodriguez. Yeah. When you start giving me Grayson
Rodriguez. I mean, there aren't that many 18-game winners in baseball, period, these
days. You're trying to win 95 games here, right?
Well, so, and
you're thinking everybody's staying healthy. I'm thinking ideally.
Sure.
Idealistic.
And I think when you're talking
about... It's Christmas. Why would...
Yeah. But when you're talking about the innings there, one thing we have to be mindful of, not so much Trevor Rogers, although even Trevor Rogers got a late start to the season and, you know, he didn't throw 200 innings this past year. Braddish looked great coming back last year. I mean, he looked fantastic. But realistically...
He's not pitching 212 innings this year.
Is he going to give you 180? I mean, you know, to me, like 165 would be... I mean, if he could do that somewhere in that neighborhood, I think he'd be thrilled with that.
If he does that, that means he's been hurt a little bit, though.
Well, but you also have to be mindful of how little he's pitched the last 2 years, and that's where...
You're not going to put him out there in the seventh inning no matter what.
I mean, that's... Right, yeah. you know, you're at least going to...
He's a five-inning guy.
Maybe he's going to do that in September or August and September, but early in the season, he might be more of a five. Yeah. So that's where I like it on a couple different levels there. I don't like it as much if... They kind of say, okay, well, this is our top half guy to go with Braddish and Trevor Rogers. I like it way more if this ends up being the Taylor Ward, which they get Taylor Ward first, and then they sign Pete Alonso. So, you know, whether it's Framber Valdez or Ranger Suarez, or, I mean, Kobe Mayo's still there, sitting there with an unclear role at this point in time on this roster. So I look at him as the guy that...
Is there any chance he's on the team Valentine's Day?
I'm guessing not. I don't know that, but I just look at this and I think he's someone who still has some nice value. I think he finished the season really nicely last year, but I think if you're the Orioles, knowing the urgency has to be where it is right now, right? I mean, the idea that Gunnar Henderson, you know, you don't have 6 years of control with Gunnar Henderson anymore. So the idea that you need to win now and you need to recover after a really disappointing 2025, I don't know if they have, and I think that's why they went out and signed Pete Alonso to say, look, Kobe Mayo might become Pete Alonso in 3 years, but can you deal with the inconsistency in the 2 years leading up to
that? Well, they're paying $30 million a year for that position.
Right, exactly.
Now,
so the reality is...
They've upgraded.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying Kobe Mayo alone acquires an ace, but Kobe Mayo and a couple other minor league pieces probably get you really close to that. So we're going to see... From a payroll standpoint, they're still in a position where they can spend because, you know, they, as I said to you over and over last year, they spent money. Now, it wasn't long-term money, but you look at where their payroll was and where it is now, there's still meat on the bone for them to go out and spend. So, to me, go out and get another starting pitcher that, even if it's not Valdez, like, go get some, you know, go trade for someone that has 2 years on
the
contract.
Well, Valdez is the one that would...
I mean, he's the big name.
Ring the bell.
And Ranger Suarez. So we're going to see. I mean, as we've said in the aftermath of the Dylan Cease signing, the fact that the other shoes didn't drop there quickly kind of tells you that I think the rest of the market thinks that was an overpay on Toronto's part, which, hey, if he ends up helping them win a World Series, it's worth it, right? In the same way that we said if Pete Alonso isn't great in year 4 and 5, but it helps the Orioles win a World Series.
If Pete Alonso's getting at bats in front of Bunting in October here,
you don't care what's going to happen in 2030,
you got to be in the tournament to have a chance.
Exactly. And as I've said over and over, you go back to the old line from Andrew Friedman that if you're going to be rational about every free agent out there, you're going to finish third trying to sign each one. So you've got to pick, and at times you make that commitment. So, you know, but I like the Boz deal. I know it's so funny, and I understand this. And Orioles fans have been very frustrated over the last 18 months. And go back longer from the long-term
perspective. Every deal's not a bad one, and every deal's not a good one.
But it is funny from the standpoint of, you know, you have fans that have accused Mike Elias of being a prospect hugger. But then when they make a move like this, it's like, well, don't trade those guys. Don't trade Slater DeBron. Don't, you know, so. But I think Boz has a really interesting profile. And again, I'm not sitting here guaranteeing you that he's going to be fantastic for them. But... Again, I think in a very loose comparison kind of way, it's kind of like Grayson Rodriguez, but I think the health profile I feel a little bit more confident in because he has shown to be fully healthy the last year and a half, season and a half, Whereas, you know, he's kind of on the other side. Like, he had Tommy John surgery, he rehabbed
from
that.
I'm still nervous about Bradish, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, and look, every pitcher, I mean, I'm nervous about every pitcher at this point. I mean, that's just how it is. And for all this talk, I mean, and I was just talking about the innings consideration for Bradish. For all this talk about slow, I mean, they slow played the heck out of Grayson Rodriguez in the minor leagues. Didn't do anything to help him, right? So you kind of wonder how much of it is they're thinking it's an exact, or trying to make it an exact science, and it's way more just like, oh, well, this maybe makes sense. You know, like, I kind of feel that that's what it ends up being a lot of time. And not just, not picking on the Orioles, I think that's the industry at large. So we're
going to it's still early. It's the, you know, it is.
I mean, like, I mean, they've done a lot of work already, but there is work to do.
A lot of things happened in January, February. I mean, you know.
I mean,
including Ubaldo Jimenez contract.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, that used to be, as Orioles fans, that would, all you would count on
5 days into spring training.
Yeah,
they signed,
I mean, they signed
somebody.
Nelson Cruz and Ubaldo Jimenez the first week of spring training. So,
you know, it'll be interesting to see if Valdez and Rangers, you know, are they going to sign Super Bowl? Are they going to sign?
Yeah, I mean, you would think, I mean, if it were me, I mean, whether it's the Orioles doing it or not, a pitcher especially, I don't want him coming in that late. You know, to me, it's like, okay, if it's mid-January, you trust that he's probably started throwing bullpens and ramping up by
long toss
mid-December, something like that. I mean, it's so funny now because you kind of think of how, you know, how you and I thought about pitching 30 years ago, let alone what they thought about 20 or 30 years before that. But you think back to where it was even 10 or 15 years ago. But now, I mean, you've got Driveline, you've got all these performance centers. I mean, these guys literally go somewhere and say, hey, I want to add 2 miles per hour on my fastball, average fastball velo. And they
get the radar gun out, they get the cameras out.
Be damned, like the consequences be damned potentially about your health. I mean, they do it. I mean, it's crazy. So, but, you know, I think with Boz, I mean, I'm hoping that he's healthy. I mean, I think they're looking at him as ascending again, whereas Grayson Rodriguez, I mean, how can you say someone's ascending when they haven't pitched in over a year, right? Because of various health ailments, you know, health concerns. So, you know, again, it's kind of part Grayson Rodriguez. And again, I like your comparison with Dean Kramer. Not stuff-wise, he's got way better stuff than Kramer, but the floor is he at least showed last year he could give innings and make 30, I think it was 31 starts for the Rays last year, which when you're talking about a young pitcher who's had a history of some arm problems a couple years before that, you don't take that for granted.
Well, they also have a little bit of a history of we think we see something in him.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Rogers was a great example of that, right? I mean,
well, they have all new coaches, too. You want to get to that?
Yeah. I mean, new coaching staff. I mean, I can't sit here and say that I have, like, a strong opinion on their coaching staff per se, but, you know, it's finalized. It's a mix. I mean, Drew French, their old pitching coach is still their pitching coach, right? They kept a couple guys in there, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that Drew French has done a perfect job by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, for all the talk about their pitching last year, and gosh, they had so many, you know,
they didn't have great pitchers.
And that's kind of the thing. But at the same time, they've had
it's one of the reasons we're beating Harbaugh because he's got good players,
right? But they've had their success stories where, you know, Trevor Rogers is an obvious one, but look at someone like Albert Suarez. Look at, like, Danny Coulomb in the bullpen. Look at some of their bullpen arms that were guys that were just kind of cast-offs and then became useful seventh-inning guys for them. So you know, I mean,
Cano. I mean, they've picked some guys up that they've gotten
Cano's
a lot of mileage.
I'm glad you mentioned Cano.
Suarez. I mean, they've gotten mileage. I mean, even the Japanese guy they signed last year.
I mean, he wasn't awful. I mean,
but they got to do better.
Oh, no question.
And
I don't.
Shane Baz better be better. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely. And, I mean, Shane Baz has a way, way, way better arm. I mean, he's not 36 years old. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, they put together their coaching staff, and you know, like I said, Drew French is back, Plasmeyer's back, Ryan Klemek is back. He's kind of their pitching strategy coach. I mean, it's so funny to hear these titles for these coaching. But Buck Britton's back. I think there are a lot of Orioles fans. I mean, 5 years ago, there was a thought
that he was going to be the
manager. Buck Britton might be the guy that, if they got in a scenario with Brandon Hyde like they ultimately did, that Buck Britton might become that guy. So I think it's nice to keep him in the organization. Players like him. You know, he's a third base coach. But, you know, at the same time, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Dustin Lynn, for example, who's their new hitting coach after so much hand-wringing about the hitting coaches the last couple years. So, you know, I think Albernaz is, you know, some of his guys, and I think there's kind of a blend here as far as maintaining some continuity that they wanted, but also, you know, having a fresh look. And they've certainly, you know, they've made upgrades. I mean, this they still have work to do. There's no doubt about that. But this is definitely a better roster than it was at the end of last year. There's no question about that. So we're going to see what they continue to do. I mean, they still need, in my mind, another legit bullpen arm to add to the mix. You know, a high leverage caliber guy. I still want to see another starting pitcher. I'd like to see them find some kind of an upgrade for the center field mix to go with Kowser. If Kowser's going to be your primary center fielder, I'd like someone that you could pair with him that you feel a little bit better about.
I think
about.
There's still more answers. I think there are two or three more deals they're going to add things.
And look, just because they've spent and handed out a couple multi-year contracts here and made a couple really notable trades, that doesn't mean that Elias is going to change his spots entirely and not still look for a couple one-year deals that make sense. I mean, look at Ramon Laureano last year. I mean, that was the best move they ended up making.
Well, a lot of that happens late when nobody else has an option.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is where I'll take David Rubenstein at his word at the Alonso press conference. He flat out said, look, if we think we can add, there are other great players we can add to the mix, we have the means to continue to do that. So I'll hold them to it. Fans should hold them to it. So
last thing for you while we're here, just because we're not talking a lot of baseball, we're doing a lot of football. Luke Jones is here. We're at Planet Fitness in Timonium. I have my funny 2026 welcoming hats and my shades and all sorts of cool stuff out here. It's a brand new location. Only been open 3 weeks, right behind the expectation, right across from the racetrack. Stop in, say hello, get in the best shape of your life into 2020. They have a rejuvenation room here. I'm going to need that after the Ravens get eliminated. Labor and how that affects this offseason in a general sense. I don't know with Rubenstein and Eric Eddie and whatever. And when you're billionaires, I've learned this with Bisciotti, there's a level of arrogance built into all of it that, why fret what's going to happen or not going to happen or whatever. You and I have been at baseball. I've been at it longer than you. I go back to 81 and the strike there and being on the radio in 94. For me, the battle drums are always there in all of these sports for labor problems. Baseball, it reminds me a little bit of when hockey went out for a year. And then hockey didn't have a television network. It's a niche sport. It's a regional sport. It's a local sport, really. That's a high ticket, all of that. Baseball has twisted and screwed itself into the ground with cable TV, with how white it is, with how many games they play, with how old it's gotten, like all of that, from a business model perspective. We can't find the games. How much is it to go? Why are these players making all this money if it's not generating that? Like all of this stuff.
Right.
Small market, big market, the whole imbalance of the problem of the basis of it. I don't know what point it blows up in them. I'm not predicting any of that, but I would say that $1.8 billion for John Angelos to be counting in Nashville and these guys having to try to figure that out and what the players want and where Boris is and when you're competing with the Yankees in the country of Canada in this division. It's a really, really screwed up industry. I'm not telling you, you love baseball more than you love almost anything besides wrestling. And
it's definitely has its flaws. There's no doubt.
Yeah,
the best way of spinning
it. And they're not going to get fixed anytime. But how do they keep the guardrails in to not have the sport go off the side of the cliff next year with all of the greed, all of the avarice, all of the ego, just all of it. I worry for them because they think that their manure doesn't stink and they think that they're infallible.
It's kind of all these leagues at this point. I mean, and obviously the NFL is the one that is the closest to getting away with it year after year after year. But yeah, it's tough because I mean, you and I have talked so much about RSNs and how that model is just
over,
failing. I mean, it's completely over for a number of teams, which MLB handles their TV rights at this point. And I guess ESPN will now because ESPN bought MLB TV, the out-of-market package. But I think trying to navigate, I mean, obviously they've revamped TV. I mean, NBC has looked willing to, they're going to have the Sunday night package. I mean, NBC, I think, quietly has kind of done a neat thing that Sunday night football has become now, it's going to be Sunday night football, it's going to be Sunday night baseball, it's Sunday night basketball, depending on the time of year. It's just kind of like Sunday night's going to be sports for them all year
it's
long.
Disney. It's Disney.
Yeah, so, it's kind of just interesting in that way. I mean, to keep it specifically from the Orioles' perspective, I mean, I'm certainly glad not to see them just say, well, we weren't going to do much this year because, well, there's going to be a lockout next year. I mean, that's the last.
Oh, they're trying to
win. Right, exactly.
So from that perspective.
No, I'm just saying I'm glad to see that. But, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty here. I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say 100% that they're going to lose an entire season next year. But I think even the most optimistic outlook, you know, the most optimistic outlook is there's going to be a lockout during the off season that's going to disrupt things. I mean, it's going to disrupt the winter meetings. It's going to disrupt free agency. I mean, how much are the players going to dig in terms of not allowing a cap to be instituted? I mean, my goodness,
we've been talking about that
since before I was 10
years
old. Where
are the battle drums?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how much appetite is there really for that, for it to go to that degree?
Let me be an idealist here, and a little Nasty Nestor on the radio 31 years ago now, right?
Yeah.
That we had this problem. The thing I screamed on the radio, and I have these tapes over at the radio station, like literally I have them on tapes, of me screaming, can't you people just fix this? Can't you fix your system? Can't you fix your sport? Can't you come together? And since then, hockey went away for a year, but they fixed it. So that the New York Rangers and the Detroit Red Wings don't have this, and the Winnipeg Jets have this. Where the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals don't have this, and the New York Giants have this. We play the Packers this week, right? Like where the size of your municipality and your DNA and your gene pool of your region doesn't dramatically affect.
I mean, there's still
Tampa Bay Rays.
There's still a difference, but it's not so dramatic.
But there is no difference between the Lakers and the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Utah, whatever the hell they're called in the Hockey League, and the Seattle Kraken because they come in, that they have to come in and say, well, we'll never compete with the New York Rangers or the Philadelphia Flyers or a bigger market or any of that. Baseball is kind of like college sports at this point. They're having to 150 years into their sport, David Rubenstein has to apologize to every Oriole fan that they can't sign players because he comes into this industry hamstrung.
Yeah.
And that's why Bisciotti, back when he was speaking to me and thought I was a real media member, Bisciotti would always say he didn't want to buy baseball because he didn't think it was a fair game.
Yeah.
He literally said, I'm a rich guy. I didn't get rich by going into, gunfights with water pistols, because that's what you are when you buy the Baltimore Orioles. And I would love to, at 50,000 feet, say, Steinbrenner's dead. You know, you're three decades out on, Bud Selig and like all of that. You got to fix this thing so that everybody can compete, because you have a broken business model all the way around. Every part of it's fractured. And they're never going to come to Jesus with that. They're not. I mean, they're not going to fix that because
can they semi-fix it?
Even think they acknowledge the problem. Yeah. And I think there's been a willful ignorance about that when they were fire sailing the Marlins and the Padres, and they were going to contract the Twins. They got rid of the Expos. They've gotten rid of the A's now. And they play in minor league ballparks, and they play in minor league cities.
Right.
And they don't even... They're smelling themselves so much about they're not even aware. They have no awareness.
I mean, obviously, and you and I talked about this a lot last year. I mean, the Rays situation was very unique. I mean, a hurricane literally destroyed the roof of the dome, regardless of the trop.
But they've been goofing with the A's for 2 decades.
But that's my big thing.
Like, they allowed Angelos to destroy this franchise.
I mean, it's insane
years.
To me that
destroy this.
It's insane to me that the A's are moving to Vegas. All right, fine, but then. The solution is, you're just going to play in Sacramento for 3 years.
And charge $100
for bleacher seats. That's
right?
So, to go back to it, trying to figure out, what's going to make this better. Not to fix it or to make it perfect, but make it better. I mean, they're going to have to figure out TV. I mean, it's one thing to talk about having a decent national TV rights deals.
Well, that's Adam and Eve in the garden. That's original sin is the Yes Network,
but that's, right?
And the Dodgers and everybody
else.
But
the problem is, but it used to be at least, and I don't, I'm kind of making this up as I go along, but let's say you had the top half of the league, like their cable and their TV rights deals locally compared to the bottom half, or the bottom 10, let's say. But, I mean, you're at the point now where even decent markets are really trying to figure this out because More and more people are cutting the cord. I mean, even, you know, the Yankees don't own Yes Network anymore. I mean, like,
I talked to Raskin this morning. I said Peacock for the game this week.
Yeah,
like, you know, who knows where they're going to put this stuff.
I mean, I will say this.
They better be smart about wherever they put it.
I don't think any of that's getting better, though. I think that's just – I don't say this to be insensitive because, believe me, I have friends at church, you know, older friends at church or just, you know, fellow Christians at church who ask me, like, how do I get the game? Like, Apple TV, what's that? You know what I mean? Like, and – they're not, like, it's not being obtuse. Like, they genuinely don't know, and they're just not used to it in the way that I had to get used to cutting the cord. And fortunately, I'm tech savvy enough that I'm really used to it now, and I like it because it saves money.
I don't even own a smart TV, literally.
Yeah.
So when these games are on Amazon Prime.
But they're going to have to.
Thursday night, I had to watch a game on my phone, and I was like, I fell asleep. So I don't want to watch a game on my phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and it's funny.
And I didn't want to sit in my office with my computer.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
No,
I wanted a bedroom.
No, I understand.
Thing,
I understand that, but. But it feels like it's getting to the point where there's only going to be a few teams that are – the market's big enough that it's going to be fruitful for them, and everyone else is going to need to be together. So I think if you're Rob Manfred, if you're the powers that be that are trying to negotiate and trying to imagine what it's going to look like over the next 10 to 15 years, it's trying to get the Dodgers, obviously, are a big one. I mean – I don't know. The Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore. I mean, if you hear Steinbrenner's son talk about that, I mean, they're not the Dodgers. Like, they're not trying to spend like crazy like the Dodgers do at this point. I mean, you think about it. Like,
well, Angelo's got to the point once he started grifting all the money from Masson, he didn't really care much about winning anymore.
Yeah.
It was just more like,
oh, and that's the thing.
And
I mean,
once Angelo's Steinbrenner
didn't,
that,
Steinbrenner
that was,
didn't care about making money. He wanted to win.
Whereas,
like, his sons, like, that's
the Pirates
that's
guys making plenty of money.
That's all they have in terms of, like, you know, that's, you know, not that they're poor, let me be clear, but, you know, in terms of, like,
don't
being
you want to win?
Being liquid and all that, right? I mean, it's their business, right? So
Bishotti's so obsessed with winning that he's willing to cheat, lie, steal, you know, nefarious, you know what I mean? Keep Justin Tucker around for a decade when they know better, you know,
but,
things
but,
like
but
that.
But I just think they're going to have to figure that out because, I mean, you know, the NFL, I mean, like, to your point, like Green Bay, Baltimore, two of the smaller markets of the 32 teams in the NFL, yet no one questions what their payroll can be compared to the Giants or the Jets or the Patriots or the Eagles, right? I mean,
we don't talk about the sport
that way. We just don't talk about it in that way. Now,
we don't say the Wizards can't win because they don't have money. The Wizards can't win because they have an incompetent owner.
Right, sure. Yeah. So, I mean, it's that's a long-winded explanation for saying I really don't know how it's going to go. I'd like to think they can work something out that's not going to cost them an entire season or half a season, let alone a full
season.
The
reason I'm even asking about this, I think there will be owners out there that would look at Valdez or any of these big ticket items and just say, I'm not getting into that before a work stoppage. People with more seasoning, these conglomerates that own these teams and who operates them, and what the marching orders have already been from their ownership group to the key baseball decision maker that we're not in that market, which was already a depleted market for the Scott Boras's who are pitching that there might be a couple of teams just say, the Astros. I'm just saying a couple teams that have won recently that are just like, you know, we want to win. We're going to try hard, but we're not going to get involved with this because we can't control the baseball stoppage.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to happen with or without us.
And it's hard to say. I mean, frankly, the Orioles would have been one of those teams where you'd look at where you'd say, are they going to dip their toes into that? Because, I mean, they don't have – their budget's certainly going to be more constrained than the Yankees or the Dodgers and the Orioles have spent. So – that's the Orioles. That's
these
one.
Guys have talked a different game than Angelos,
sure. No
and
question.
Now they're starting to deliver
no
on
question.
It financially.
But like around the league, it's hard to say, right? I mean, there have been some teams that have been active and other teams.
Well, from the fan base perspective, and I'll drop the mic on this because we're here talking about Shane Baz's fourth deal they've had in the offseason with the relief pitchers and the money they spent on a lot. You know, like as far as where it's not their key deal like Ubaldo Jimenez was, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would say from the fans here who've been embattled, you and I included in that you would start in this and I'd smack you around and say, well, we can't shop on that top shelf.
Yeah.
We have to always be doing these other things that other sports don't talk about it like that. Until baseball fixes that, they're never going to, like, until we can't talk about it in that way anymore. We're not talking about the Ravens offseason as we can't afford that player because the Eagles will spend more money. Baseball's got to fix that.
But that being said,
for these owners and this honeymoon period of last place and losing a half million fans and all of that, there might be a market opportunity for them to be a little more aggressive this year because a couple people might get out of the way. That's all I'm saying. I think the work stoppage and all of that sits and the money
it's at least in
sits
the back
behind
of their mind,
it
sure.
in a way that these two egotists who bought this team and they're all wanting to run around and give themselves pats on the back and make bobbleheads and have their kids run the hot dog races and do all of that, that this might be a funner summer for them. If they throw a bunch of money at this and say, well, if these guys walk out next year, we won't have to pay them. It ain't affecting what I'm having for dinner. The Orioles will be there whenever the work stoppage is over. I'm not concerned about it, as opposed to Peter Angelos, who put all that money up, put his whole life's money up, had his wife lose her mind at the courtroom that year, and a year and a half later, he's in the middle of a work stoppage.
Yeah.
He doesn't even understand that he went out calling Bud Selig a car. These guys aren't doing that. These guys may throw a little bit extra money at this in their own mind, saying, let's give the money to Alonzo, make the people happy. We might not even have a baseball team a year from now. And we're not even in control of that because these people are crazy.
Yeah.
And I mean,
if anyone from the owner's side is going to, anytime you're talking about work stoppages within the realm of professional sports, you know, the owners are the billionaires, right? And they're going to wait out the millionaires who want to make money, who have a very limited shelf life to earn. You know, their earning potential is much smaller. They know that even the owners in the smallest of markets know that they can flip that franchise at any point in the next 5, 10 years, whatever, and the value is going to be much higher than what they spent on it. So, you know, that tends to be what it is, where they say, well, we'll wait them out, and will the players – and let's face it, unlike 30 years ago, I mean, the players' union's a shell. The strength and the clout it has is a shell of what
it used to be.
And I'm not – look, they might miss – maybe they miss a month.
It's
going to
be an uncomfortable summer in that
way.
It's
going to be interesting.
When Manfred's running around trying to get in clubhouses with Ben Deers.
But you hope that the Orioles could take advantage and one more – you know, this last season before potential labor unrest that – hey, they can make some hay with Pete Alonso and company.
We've been with Planet Fitness for 16 years as sponsors, and I finally got the fun party hat. It's the New Year's hat. I did request it. I see it every year when I'm watching Anderson Cooper and his buddy there run around and have a good time on New Year's. We're sober. We won't be in the new year once the Ravens are eliminated. But a big appreciation for our friends at Planet Fitness. Also, our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Candy Cane Cash. Luke is out here. We're in Timonium. It's a brand new location. Come on out. They are taking my old swag and giving me new swag. And I'll be giving away Candy Cane. We had a $100 winner at Costas the other day, Candy Cane Cash. Also, our friends at GBMC. Have a great Christmas, dude.
You too, man.
What's Santa bringing you? Anything good?
You know, I haven't really.
You've been a good boy this year.
I've got lots of cool gifts for my nieces, though. I'm excited about that.
All right. Well, make sure you have plenty of Pizza John's pizza in the
absolutely.
New year. All right?
Absolutely.
We're going to come back here from Planet Fitness. We're going to talk to Justin Drummond, April, the whole crew here about all things Planet Fitness and my funny hat, as well as some sunglasses. Big appreciation to Planet Fitness and all of our sponsors as we head into 2026, bravely, I might add. Back for more. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Shane Baz and John Harbaugh and Derrick Henry. Stay with us.